Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Luke Dodd. Luke is a second-year executive MBA student in our class of 2022, and he and I recently connected to talk about his background as a physician, what led him to pursue an MBA, why he chose Darden, and his work in starting our healthcare club, as well as leading the efforts around our recent global diversity event. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Luke Dodd. Luke, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brent. It's a pleasure to be on here with you, and I've been looking forward to having this conversation.
Well, it's great to have you here. This is one of these things. I don't think we could have picked better timing for this. We're recording this, I should say, late October off of what I would say is probably one of the most exciting weekends we've ever had in the Executive MBA program. Just had the first annual Global Diversity event, and you were very much at the center of all of that planning. So congratulations.
Thank you. It really was a great experience. And honestly, we had many classmates of mine on the cohort of 2022 and many faculty and all the staff in student affairs at Darden working together with this effort. So that's really what made it feel so special, was that it really was a team effort, and I feel like it really came together nicely.
All right, but before we get there, let's talk a little bit more about you and your story. So first and foremost, how are you doing generally? Everything going well?
I'm doing well. Right now I'm in Chicago at the 63rd annual ASTRO meeting, which is the American Society for Radiation Oncology. And it's been great to be in person, seeing colleagues and hearing about the science and some of the latest evidence that supports person-centered care. And I think just being here in person with my colleagues in a focused meeting on radiation oncology has been awesome. But otherwise, like, it's Q8, as you know, and it's the beginning of the second year of this experience or journey, if you will. Definitely enjoying my Darden experience and starting to ease up on some of the course load, because the first year can be pretty packed.
It can be. And of course, second year, your quarter eight, which for our listeners who may be less familiar with the calendar, is two quarters in the leadership residency away from being done. So about four-ish months away to graduation. I will say, I mean, the end is near, so to speak, for Luke and his classmates. Obviously, graduation's in May, but they'll fly through the next couple quarters, and LR2 will be here, which is always like, I'll say this, Luke, maybe your class will feel similarly. It's a bittersweet time in the program. People are really excited, going to be there just on the doorstep of graduation. It's also the last thing you do as a class. And I've been so impressed by your class, the way that you've come together. It hasn't been easy. You've been doing this in the midst of a pandemic. You started the first year of the program really largely virtual. There were in-person opportunities, but, you know, we just resumed normal operations in August. And yet, you all seem to know each other. You all seem to really enjoy each other. You've been able to plan incredible events. It's a testament to everybody in your class.
For sure. I mean, we've really come together, I would say even closer, because we've had to work through the pandemic. 10 of us, I think 10 of us, correct me if I'm wrong, are physicians. And just seeing the resilience of those in healthcare who had to essentially be at full strength during this whole time. And then also for those who aren't in healthcare, who've had to manage, you know, their personal lives and work, and also this MBA program, and to be where we're at today is pretty amazing.
All right. Well, let's talk about your background and your story. Take us into your MBA journey. Who are you, and what do you do? And we'll go from there.
Sure. So as many of you know, at Darden now, because I shared my story last week when we did the Global Diversity event, but My parents immigrated from Pakistan, and I grew up in Silver Spring in Burtonsville, Maryland, which is Eastern Montgomery County. And then I pursued medical training and studies in Boston, and then came back after completing residency in radiation oncology to work in private practice. And today I'm the medical director for the Center for Advanced Radiation Oncology at the White Oak Cancer Center. And this hospital actually is the hospital that I was born at, and I'm working in the community where I grew up. And so it's pretty rewarding, very rewarding experience to help this population of people on their journeys with cancer. And now I'm also an executive MBA student and working in the clinic full time. And so it's a nice experience in both outside the classroom and also in the classroom.
Wearing a lot of hats, doing a lot of things, as is typical for our executive MBA students. It's always great for people to hear these kinds of stories on the podcast, because folks juggle a lot while they're doing this, but it can be done. And so here you are. You know, our listeners probably perked up. You said radiology, physician, maybe not the typical background people think about when they think about an MBA program. So how did you get interested in pursuing an MBA?
So I would say that I had been thinking about it for many years. You know, at the stage when I started the program, I was 9 years out of training and in clinical practice. And so for all physicians, there is this point where your practice and your work, your daily work, continues to evolve over time. But then having the credentials of an MBA and enhancing leadership skills really helps continue to open up doors. And also for most physicians, there is this concept of lifelong learning that we, I think, being in medicine, are very much strong believers in. And so I think in that spirit, that's why I chose to pursue an MBA. I mean, you know, when we started the program, we talked about the why, and sort of my why. My passion outside of the walls of the clinic is in global outreach and global health. And so one of my interest areas to get the MBA is to figure out how to partner with industry to help transfer radiation technology to underserved parts of the world. So I find that I'm hoping that this MBA will help me learn to do that. And it has been, but I feel that that's definitely one of the central goals that I've had.
I remember that from our conversations when you were a prospective student. And, you know, what ultimately led you to Dard?
So a lot of reasons. You know, like, I was actually thinking about a healthcare focused MBA, and you probably can tell, Brett, from my work since I've been here, that I am a believer in the network of physicians and people working in healthcare and the importance of having that network. But the bigger question or the bigger need or interest of mine was to actually help work and enhance the skills that are beyond just daily clinical practice. And so it's really nice, as I've mentioned already, to have many doctors and people working in healthcare in class. But to be honest, some of the most rewarding experiences and relationships that these listeners who are listening to this podcast will have, who come to Darden, are the relationships that you build with your classmates beyond the scope of healthcare. Like, I am hoping to, by doing this MBA, to figure out how to optimize my patients' experience in my clinic. And I think to do that, we really need to be empathetic and learn from those outside of medicine. And so I originally, in my thought process on figuring out whether to do a healthcare MBA or a more general broad-based MBA, that was, you know, it was really important to reconcile that that decision, comparing both. And so I feel more confident than ever that pursuing the MBA at Darden was the right decision. And the other factors that also played into me coming to this decision is that I live in DC. And so in the area, I find that this classroom experience and the faculty are some of the best in the world. And to be able to do that very close to home, and you know, it's an executive format. So working full time and managing my work and being able to do this within a few minutes from where I live just made all the sense in the world to me.
It does feel like, I mean, talking with physicians as they think through an MBA, it does feel like physicians, you know, kind of are in that to do something that's more specialized, to do something more generalized. From the physicians who come to this program, let's say we're a general management program, so you are going to get that very broad perspective, and you're going to have a lot of other people in the classroom. I think almost to a person, the physicians we've talked to here on the podcast, or I've just known in the program, they've found so much utility in learning about other industries or learning from other industries and connecting with people beyond their practice area, beyond their industry, benefiting from those perspectives. It sounds like that's been your experience too.
Absolutely. You know, like even coming to this meeting, the meeting that I'm at right now, the conference, I've noticed how being in the MBA for now over a year, where understanding the language of business and issues that are germane to all industries, not just healthcare, but it does serve as an advantage in conversation, in scope of understanding, to be more fluent. And it being that way or having that knowledge does help render some comfort to the listener or your person you're communicating with. The other thing that I wanted to say, Brett, is that we learn a lot about empathy, you know, in general, in life we do, right? And how we connect with people. And so a lot of administration, people who work in administration and healthcare are not necessarily physicians and people who are in direct patient care. And we describe that as more of an administrative role. And so I think being able to be more empathetic to the position or what is putting ourselves in the shoes of like a hospital administrator or some of the business issues that can arise in a clinical practice, being able to do that in a broad-based or in any MBA program, I think is really important to be able to learn that. And so that's also been really beneficial for me, I think.
It's interesting, that last point, because the other thing that I oftentimes will hear from doctors is the practice of medicine is changing, that there is more pressure on sort of the business end of things. And just knowing the medicine, particularly if you want to move into a leadership role, being really good at the medicine end of it is somehow insufficient for these kind of roles that have more scope, more leadership responsibility, perhaps a bit more of that business concern in them.
Right. I mean, it's an understatement to say that healthcare is evolving. We all know that it's changing each day. And so whatever physicians can do to be more mindful and cognizant about limitations that we currently may face, but also some of the opportunities that we have to enhance our delivery of healthcare. We take classes, you know, in an MBA program like operations, which allows us to take a step back and look at how to optimize workflows. And really when I was mentioning earlier, it's a big part of what we do each day is about doing what's best for the patient. And a big part of that is figuring out how to make that patient experience as great as possible. And so there's a term now, Brett, called the person-centered care. And I think that that is more holistic view. And I think to be able to deliver person-centered care, there are a lot of things that we learn in an MBA program at Darden that allows us to do that, because the patient experience is beyond the actual encounter that's happening in the clinic. It starts at the patient's journey, essentially, from their, at home, outside of the clinic, their daily lives. There are a lot of needs that patients have. And we, some of the things that you do learn in an MBA program do allow one to optimize the patient experience.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, that sort of the broader perspective, thinking about things like operations or maybe even management communications, leading organizations, some of business ethics, like all of these kind of having the space to kind of ask these questions and maybe think about the leader you want to be, how you want to engage with people, how you think business should be structured.
Right. I mean, a lot of us go to these, meetings and conferences or educational sessions. But I got to be honest with you, like during the first year, it can be very stressful. And I know we're going to talk about some of the advice that I may have for prospective students. But you will likely, I mean, I'm already kind of sensing this for myself, realize the benefits of this program beyond the time that's physically spent at Darden. And I think being at this conference that I'm attending right now, I really have felt that. It's very anecdotal and I'm giving you an end of one of an experience, but I really find that there's a tremendous amount of value to spend in focused study and learning on topics that are a part of the core curriculum for an MBA program like ours, but also a lot of the focused electives that you can take in areas of interest, because it really allows you to explore and you can even design your own study. So I find that the value to be gained, you'll feel it during, but it's actually a lot more present after, towards the end, I think.
Well, I always think that this is the time where things start to really click together for students. You know, you've gone through the core, you're pretty close to being completed with the core. You're now taking mostly electives, if not entirely electives. Like you're starting to gain that perspective of how that sort of broad foundation can be helpful to you and getting pretty sophisticated as a business school student.
Absolutely. And, I think I would definitely encourage prospective and even those in the first year cohort to try to, we get rather so, we can get so focused in the first year curriculum, it can be really difficult to see down the tunnel. But having the understanding of the elective study and the potential for independent study is really a huge value added to the curriculum, the learning experience, and also making sure that you get everything that you need out of this program, which is very much possible.
Well, let's talk about, you come to Darden, you're a first year executive MBA student. What were the adjustments for you? I mean, learning curves, anything that stands out to you when you reflect on what that year was like?
So I think that we're all working full time and we are, I'm going to generalize, but we're generally successful people. And so with that, I think we expect that we are good at time management, but however, time management is definitely is pushed to its limit. I think when you have your work, your family, your life outside of work with friends, and then you have a full-time curriculum, and I think time management is really an important skill that everyone must figure out how to sort of quickly adjust. But there's also a tremendous support network. There's learning teams that are set up that help facilitate you to be able to manage your time and to make sure that you focus your studies in areas that you're hoping to gain more knowledge and competency in. And so I think, so time management was one big one. The other advice that I would have is to make sure that, we are a very engaging, open-minded, society of students. The University of Virginia has a very, as I think, obviously, Brett, you can probably comment on this better than I have, better than I can, since you've been with UVA for a long time. But there is this culture of innovation in the classroom. And I think that part of that is being comfortable in this classroom experience. It's very dynamic and Socratic method. And I think that just keeping your mind open to different thoughts and different teaching styles of professors, I think can, being open-minded really allows you to maximize what you get out of the program, the way it is designed. And I wouldn't change any bit of it.
Well, Luke, I appreciate your points around time management. If you think you're good at time management, you'll have an opportunity to kind of take those skills to the next level as an executive right. MBA student. It will be stressed. and you know, you will really have to relentlessly prioritize, like, what's most important right now. So I guess the thing that stands out from the conversations that I've had with students about it. So I also think of you as someone who came to Darden with express goals, like things that you wanted to accomplish while you were here as an executive MBA student. The two things I can think of off the top of my head are the healthcare club. You wanted to start some kind of student organization to bring healthcare practitioners or people who are just interested in the healthcare industry together, and then the global diversity event. And here we sit, October 2021, and you've achieved both things. So let's talk about the healthcare club. Tell us a little bit about it.
I appreciate that, Brad. I mean, I think that we're really lucky, actually, you know, to be in a classroom space with many people with interest in healthcare, and offers like a diverse way of thought that's brought to our experience. And so when I came to Darden, my big thing of coming here was really to expand my sort of business acumen in the global sense because of my interest to do global outreach. When I got here, I noticed that there were many people in medicine and working in the healthcare industry. And I partnered with a few of our classmates to start the Darden Executive Healthcare Alliance. And the purpose of starting it and having a club devoted to optimizing the business school experience for those in healthcare is really to have support, to facilitate networking, to also enhance the experience of learning through lectures and talks by thought leaders in different subject matter areas. And so the Executive Healthcare Alliance is organizing along with the Friday Night Live event, which is a talks that occur during our on-ground residence, which happen like once a month. And so on those Friday nights, we have speakers from different industries. And so we're collaborating with one of our classmates, Keith Wilson, who helps organize and lead those, and Noelle Vokes, who's also one of the leaders of the Executive Healthcare Alliance, to have a devoted speaker for healthcare sector. And so it's been really rewarding to start this and to learn more about my classmates' interests. But to be honest, just like I was saying earlier about relationships, I think it has helped for me facilitate support during a year, like with having to deal with the pandemic and COVID and some of the challenges that we face in our daily work lives, just having this collaboration with my classmates who are in healthcare has been really, really nice for me. Did you have any other specific questions, Brett, about the healthcare alliance?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think of your class. I don't know if we'll ever break the record number of physicians that your class said. I think double digits for sure in the class of 2022. And what's so interesting to me about that is that was the class that we were recruiting like in the thick of the early days of the pandemic. So, you know, March 2020, world changes, everything shuts down. And your class shows up in August with more physicians than we've ever had in one class in the program. I don't know if I've figured out exactly why that might be, but it's an incredible thing.
Yeah, I haven't either, to be honest, because I was, as you know, thinking about this program much longer than the few weeks leading up to the start and having to deal with COVID-19. But we do, you know, we do, we can palpate the growing interest in the university's commitment to enhancing the knowledge of people who work in healthcare, particularly at Darden. And so I think that it's just going to be an continue to grow.
Yeah, how are things going with the Healthcare Alliance? It does seem like y'all stay busy. I'm excited to hear about Friday Night Live.
Well, it's going great. We have Vivian Reifberg, who is one of the Darden faculty, and she's a thought leader in consulting who's had leadership position at McKinsey, and she listened to us. The Executive Healthcare Alliance did a survey of our class because we felt like we needed having Vivian at Darden as a thought leader, subject matter expert, and not, we weren't necessarily, our class wasn't offered her elective. And so with that, we decided we would, you know, assess whether there was an interest in the class to support having an elective of called Healthcare Solutions that Vivian Reifberg is teaching to us this spring as an elective. And so the Executive Healthcare Alliance conducted a survey and analyzed the data, and it helped us convince leadership to add this elective for us. And I think that's a testament to the club and the structure of student groups at Darden, because if students have an interest in something or are passionate about a subject matter or topic, it's a great avenue to try to push that through.
There is a lot of opportunity in this program for students to shape their experience. And, you know, I think one of the great traditions of UVA, and it's probably surprising to hear for our listeners that it applies to busy working professional students like our executive MBA students, but there is this great tradition of student self-governance. And so you mentioned Friday Night Live. It's a co-curricular activity, speaker series, student run at this point. And, you know, students advocate for things they'd like to see in the program, like to see more of in the program. Friday Night Live is kind of a byproduct, a little bit of those ongoing conversations. But, you know, to your point around courses or faculty, those are conversations that it feels like students are always having with the program team. And it's an incredible group of people on the program team and always very open to those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the Global Diversity event. What was the inspiration for this event?
Well, you know, right, as you're asking this question, because I know this is audio only, I'm definitely smiling because this has been like one of the one of my favorite experiences that I've had since being here. It's been this organizing the working with my classmates to organize this celebration of global diversity. So the month of October is Global Diversity Awareness Month. And back in June, we were talking about in the diversity subcommittee to do something for Pride. And the COVID numbers during the summer were, it was after Memorial Day, and I think we started discussing what sort of events we would be planning as a class and the different clubs. And in the spring, the different holidays had led to the COVID numbers. You know, as we all know, like we had peaks and valleys with the transmission rates, and we were still waiting on the vaccine. And so I think that at that time, what happened, Brett, was that we were running into challenges of organizing something in person. We really wanted it to be a celebratory feeling. So we decided back in late spring, early summer to celebrate global diversity. And one of the cool things about making it a celebration of diversity, not just of sexual orientation or skin color or ethnicity, is that how we define diversity is very broad and inclusive. And in the spirit of inclusion, we designed a program that brought together clubs and student leaders and faculty to share with us their diversity of thinking. And it was very inspiring. I mean, you were there, Brett. Tell me, what was your favorite part of that event?
So there's so many things. I can't think of the last event I attended that included flamenco dancers, like a student story video, a drag show, different student testimonials, closing remarks. I mean, like this really incredible spectrum of perspectives and experiences that were shared. And I also love the fact that there was like 100+ people in the room for this. It felt like most of your class was there. That was awesome.
Yeah, we had a great turnout, and it was very special, totally. Like, I think that our hope was to create a lasting memory for everyone and start a tradition. And, you know, I think that we're well on our way to be able to do that. And I think it's just the beginning of a lot of great things in this diversity, equity, and inclusion space. And it really evolved over time, Brett. It was like classmates that normally are not necessarily working closely together on something or a topic, but people really pulled together, and it was just a total team experience. And I'm just grateful that we were given the opportunity and support, because I don't think if that wasn't there, the support was certainly there. And it's an example of, if you have an idea or are passionate about something, whether it's in the classroom or not, you should go for it, because life is too short. And I say this a lot, and my friends and classmates and colleagues know that I love deep conversation. And so one of my things that I say often is that life is too short. You got to go for it. Otherwise, it'll just pass you right by. And this is an example of that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that advice, particularly when you think about 21 months in the executive MBA program. I think when you start that, you're like, gosh, that seems like a lot of time. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in quarter eight and you're like, where did the time go? How in the world am I almost done? Has that been your experience?
Yeah, totally. It has flown by. I think that it's pretty surreal, but I'll be wondering, I'm sure, when this is done, what will I do with all my free time? But hopefully this experience will create other opportunities that will continue to take up more time, which is why it's important for all of our listeners to have career and life balance, which is absolutely, you know, really important. And we learn about that in the curriculum as well, about the importance of, you know, like promoting that environment at your work and in your work.
Well, Luke, congratulations on the event. I didn't ask you this. You asked me what was my favorite part of the event. What was your favorite thing about the event?
I, there's so many things. Like, I think my favorite was seeing a few of my classmates who are not traditionally thought of as public speakers. Just the representation across groups and talents, for example, in public speaking, you know, this is an important part. Communication is an important part of business. And seeing people excel that you wouldn't traditionally think of excelling, and it was just really well done. And that is really rewarding to watch. I think when you have a teammate who is just performing very highly, that is such a wonderful thing to witness. And so I would say that, honestly, Brett, that was really just the thing that got me. We had wonderful paid performances, which the ticket sales helped pay for. But to be honest, seeing my classmates being a part of it was really the best part.
Yeah, I love that point about maybe folks who are not necessarily inclined to speak publicly in that kind of way, 100+ people in a room, let me share some remarks, putting themselves out there, taking that leap, being vulnerable in that way. And just the outpouring of support from their classmates who, you know, they know each other at this point. You know each other, you understand that this is not something that perhaps comes naturally to this person. But I was just struck by how supportive people were and how it felt like, okay, that person might be nervous. You can maybe feel that a little bit when you listen to their voice. And yet I felt like everybody was in their corner, which I really loved.
Yeah, the other thing that was pretty cool is, you know, we thought about how we would be sequencing the different segments, and like to have the dean followed by the drag queen. I mean, I gotta say that was pretty cool to see the transitions that we had created and the thought that had gone into some of that. You know, Chi Lo did a short film documentary called Darden Stories. And it was just really beautifully done. And I think that diversity and equity is well known to the world, but really another important piece of all of this is this inclusiveness and being inclusive. And if you go back and watch the program for that evening, I think we did a good job of being inclusive to as many people and backgrounds as possible.
All right, Luke, well, you're in quarter eight of the program. You got some time though left until graduation. What are you looking forward to?
So I'm definitely looking forward to the healthcare solutions elective. But do you mean like after Darden, or what am I looking forward to between now
in the program? Yeah. What's to come?
Right now, it's just so nice to have this week to be at a conference and be in person with colleagues. So definitely have been looking forward to this. It's been great. And the first year can be really busy, and it was packed, and I had started a new radiation oncology center. And so there was a lot going on at once, a lot of moving parts. And the second year, there is this feeling that things kind of do lighten up, and you do get to focus some more on passion or interest areas. So like there's many electives that I've been hoping to take or waiting to take, particularly in strategy. So we now have concentration areas that we can try to pursue at Darden. And so like our class and I believe the class before us had been working with leadership to begin these concentrations. So I'm hoping to concentrate in strategy, and I'm totally looking forward to gaining some more knowledge and competency in that. But outside of the classroom, I'm looking forward to hopefully a very exciting college basketball season.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's almost that time. Here we are. It's practically November as we're recording this here in late October. I appreciate your mention of the focus areas. That, I think, in many ways is one of the great examples of how these kinds of things come together in the executive MBA program. So focus areas, specialization, concentration, this kind of thing had been part of an ongoing conversation with students in the program team. We got to the class of 2021. There were a couple people really in that class that wanted to advocate and kind of say, hey, this is something we should look at. They polled their classmates. They got all that data together. They shared it with the program team. There was a working group of faculty and staff that looked at this, looked at the curriculum, looked at the electives that we've offered, looked what made sense given what we were hearing from prospective students and also employers about what they might want to see from students. And next thing you know, we've got seven focus areas, and those are on the website if you want to read more. Kind of run the gamut from everything from strategy to data and technology, entrepreneurship, the list goes on. But it was, I think, a real testament to how this program operates. It's students,
absolutely,
faculty,
it's
and staff.
Totally, Brett. It's like, it's been for me, because I, even though I'm in private practice, I definitely have like a more academic bend. Being in clinical practice, but I think that I certainly appreciate the nimble and flexible sort of structure leadership at Darden to have its finger on the pulse of the students and what the needs are, and to be able to meet those needs, you know, within a short amount of time, I think can be a challenge. But, you know, this is a top-notch MBA program with top students. and to be able to sometimes break with tradition and do things that are different and allow us to excel, I think is really valuable and very impressive.
Well, Luke, thank you so much for taking time out of what sounds like an exciting week for you at the conference. Enjoy your time there, and congratulations again on all the recent success and everything that's going so well for you in the program. So happy.
Thank you, Brett. I appreciate it. Take care.
And that was my interview with Luke Dodd, a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.